Blog Talk Radio.
You ready? And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Because I ain't at the fucking deli, but I am at home because, how do I put this? But with the type of schedule I have, you never know what you're going to fucking get, okay? And it's not a bad thing. It's actually a decent thing. NXT has expanded, folks, to the UK. The Mae Young Classic is in the quarterfinals. Tony Storm is now advancing, and I believe I see her winning the whole thing. I could be wrong, but you can check that out at Evolution, the very first women's all-pay-per-view. I will let Granny on here in just a minute. Just got to go through some tidbits here while I get my stuff settled. Okay. You know, folks, if you would like to see some actual pro wrestling, the ones that, you know, don't drive your attention away, there's two brands that you should watch. Actually, three. If they expand to Japan, that's four. NXT UK, NXT SmackDown Live. Why? Because unlike Raw, those three can keep your attention. Just saying. Because tonight I'll get, you know, kind of tired, folks. Been moving around a lot. Been going through some transition and moving some stuff from Brooklyn to Queens. Benny owns two restaurants, by the way, so no problem. Anyways, folks, welcome to the show, Granny Hulkster.
Well, hello, B-Train. How are you tonight?
I think the proper phrase is I'm kind of in a whirlwind. I've had to watch a lot of wrestling the entire day because they debuted the NXT brand, the UK. I happen to be a big fan of that, even though some people may know Noam Dar from, was it Cruiserweight Division? Folks, he's much more than that, and he proved it today. So I guess in a sense, Granny, I've been wrestling busy, which is not uncommon around this time of year, because not only this is the prelude, I guess, to Survivor Series, and like I said, the three brands that captivated my attention thus far, SmackDown Live, NXT UK, of course, it debuted today, 3 p.m. my time, because it's been pre-recorded and all that. But Granny, I gotta say, when you expand your brand all the way to the United Kingdom, everyone must say, well, the Ring of Honor did this, and I'm not shunning Ring of Honor, I'm just saying, when a certain group starts expanding their portfolio, it's a good thing. You had people like
Mark Andrews, Danny Mastiff, you know, Tony Storm, who was a part of the NXT UK, is a part of the women's division. I'm feeling they're going to allow her and Jenny or whomever to feud for the NXT UK women's title. Mustache Mountain, Tyler Bate, and Trent Seven is there. Much more. There's a lot of, there's probably 30 to 32 people on that roster now, folks. SmackDown Live had their 1,000th episode last night. I'm so proud of that brand, Granny, because at least when I tune into there, I don't know if you saw or heard, but it was like being on Comedy Central when Batista had the mic in his hand, because he went from roasting Orton to roasting Flair, and when he got to Flair, I thought they were going to mute him, because keep that thing in your pants. I about died laughing. Because, honestly, guys, the running joke about Ric Flair is Space Mountain, the longest ride or the longest running ride in wrestling history. Oh, God. When he got to Triple H, Triple H's face basically says it all. If he was thinking what I was thinking, which is kind of funny, bitch, Thanos crushed you with one snap of the finger. It's kind of a, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers Infinity War. Oh, my. I wasn't surprised to see Vicky Guerrero there, but Laurinaitis? I forgot, Granny, that he was a SmackDown Live GM. I just kind of escaped my mind. I know Teddy Long was. Laurinaitis is kind of like Corbin. You wish you forget that he was in existence as a GM. Cutting Edge, I expected Becky and Charlotte to go to blows because Becky, oh, goodness. When she told Edge, yeah, that's right. You get out of my ring and don't break your neck on the way out. Wow. Can you say SmackDown Live likes to push boundaries? Because if there is any other legend in the ring that I would not mess with, Undertaker's one. Edge, he had a storied passing, said, I was just like you, but I burnt bridges. I was surprised that he said that. Because one would think, you know, I don't like Charlotte. Well, that's kind of an obvious one. I got somebody from Instagram. Yeah, the only reason I can think of for that statement, sir, is the fact that she's been shoved down our throats from a writing perspective. I don't think that she's a bad athlete. I don't think that she's a bad person. I tend to agree with you. Oliver, is that your name? Really? Oliver is your middle name. How many names do you have, sir? This is kind of funny. You have three names. Wow. Okay. What a privilege it is for you to answer my question. I wasn't being serious, but okay. You have another question. What's your question? Do I believe that Becky will drop the title at Crown Jewel? I don't know. And honestly, this pay-per-view better be better than Super Showdown and Jeddah, because Granny and I have seen both train wrecks, or maybe Granny hasn't seen Super Showdown. Thank God she hasn't. Every foreign show thus far, folks, has been a letdown. Except for the main event at Super Showdown, and even that was kind of hard to get through. But to answer your question, I don't know who's going to win it, but I just watch. And Granny does the same thing. She doesn't know who's going to win, she just watches. Oh, okay.
I can always hope who I'd like to see win, but, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that they will.
not a guarantee, folks, but yeah. The rest of SmackDown Live, and yeah, I usually play music, folks, but P-Train's kind of on fumes tonight simply because I've been moving stuff from Vinny's restaurant to his location in Queens. But, you know, it's a different story for a different fucking day. Anyway, so continuing, the NXT, or not NXT, the Tag Team Championships changed hands. I was very shocked to see Big Show help out. And, well, normally the joke also for him is he has more turns than NASCAR. He has barely been involved, but I guess since his last involvement on SmackDown Live was he lost to Orton, now he's a added third party to Sheamus and Cesaro, which I kind of like because I don't get me wrong, New Day's funny as hell, but at the same time, from my perspective, I can't take them seriously. And I'm glad they lost the tag team championships. I really am. Because somebody needs to represent Team Blue for Survivor Series, and it sure the hell is not New Day. To be honest with you, the last time I ever cheered for New Day was when they were not well-liked. And that was when they were in Brooklyn, and it's hilarious, they were not as well-perceived, and they still got over. Question, because, sir, the reason why is because the East Coast loves their heels. So New Day was heel. They're over with the crowd. Yes, I get that. But I can't stand them because how the hell did they go over the Bludgeon Brothers clean? Actually, yeah, in an ODQ match, I understand. But how the hell did they go over a team clean when you know they're not bad wrestlers? But my question to you, sir, is how much longer can people chant New Day Rocks and still think, okay, this is actual wrestling? With pancakes being thrown at people, I kind of agree with Corey Graves. It is kind of a dastardly thing to have pancakes thrown at you, and you don't even have, Granny, they don't even throw syrup at people. They should start throwing, like, mini syrups at people. I mean, come on. They need to start throwing butter, too, for that matter. You know what? Instead of pancakes, why not? This may hurt people, but just throw them aluminum foils or plastic things of scrambled eggs, you know, with them pancakes. I get hungry every time they throw that. Eat pancakes without eggs. It's just ludicrous, I swear. New Day is a torture. They are. And it's a wonder. It's still a wonder to me why Big Show helped out Sheamus and Cesaro. I'm still curious about that. I mean, the question is Big Show coming back full time? Because Rey Mysterio, Granny, also came back.
Yes, I saw that. That was awesome.
The match with Nakamura was everything and then some, folks, because I have followed Nakamura before he came to NXT. And I have followed Rey Mysterio since WCW. And I can tell you, those two put on a clinic as to this is what a main event is supposed to look like at the end of the night. I'm not taking anything away from The Shield and Strowman, Ziggler, and McIntyre, but honestly, there's no twists and turns about how Rey Mysterio works. And now he advances in the Best of the World tournament. Going to have a final. My thoughts on that tournament, it's to say, who's the best in the world? Is that an indication or a slap to the face of CM Punk? I don't know, and I really don't want to touch that. Although, this is my show, Off the Rails Uncensored, so yeah, I do believe in some way, shape, or form that this tournament is not, well, just being honest here, best in the world was Chris Jericho, still is. CM Punk coined the phrase because, well, he wanted to make it known that he also had skill. And he proved that time and time again, sir. So to answer your question, Caleb, I don't think it was a direct shot at CM Punk as kind of a farce, because, yes, I think it is. But I also want to say that I think tournament is going to really bore me to tears because it's got John Cena involved in it. And to me, he's not a bad, well, depends on who you are, not a bad person in some regards. But to have him, not just him, in the tournament, but to have certain people in this tournament kind of makes you wonder, are we going back 20 years, or not 20 years, are we going back a few years? Because at this time, 12 years ago, it was Cena, Rey Mysterio, Big Show is also going, he was involved in this tournament, but Cena, Orton, Mysterio, granted, this feels like a reunion of sorts because those three names that I just mentioned were the top mentions in WWE about, they still are the top mentions because they're a part of 2K. But, yeah, I think it's a crock of shit because Every wrestler is known in their regard as best at what they do, so best in the world? Not a fan of this tournament. I mean, you got Jeff Hardy, very good talent, John Cena, undeniably the most talked about superstar. Whether you love him or hate him, folks, he's still talked about, which means must be doing something right. Then you have Rey Mysterio. I haven't seen him in a WWE ring, Granny, in so long. It was nice to see Rey back. I mean,
yes, it was.
Simple people, like, why didn't they're asking me, why didn't they put Nakamura over? Guys, that will look real bad on Ray and on the company if they put, I'm not discounting Nakamura, but if they put Nakamura over on that night specifically, it just, okay, you get promised a contract, you come back to a company, and then you lose. Does that make sense, Ryan? No, it does not. So I understand where you're coming from, sir, but this is not NXT, in which, you know, Nakamura is a big name. I get it. We seem to have a lot of questions and doubters on today's show, but, you know, or tonight's show. So let me just reaffirm this. I'm not a booker, not a promoter, but I can tell you the reason why Rey Mysterio goes over is because he's on the cover of 2K. One of the people that's on the cover is AJ Styles, but also on the back is Rey Mysterio. Case in point, if you're part of a game and you also have a lucrative 2 to 3 year deal, Rey can still go, and he proved that in the main event. That's why, folks, he was the world champion. He surprised people in the Royal Rumble. Okay? He's also a guy that's not very big. He's an underdog in most matches. So, I mean, why didn't he go over? Why didn't Nakamura go over? Let me answer that question. It makes sense to bring back a name to face another name. Hence why the main event was the United States Champion Shinsuke Nakamura versus somebody who hasn't been with the company for very, you know, he hasn't been in WWE for very long. He's been doing independent events. Rey Mysterio. Even worked, you know, a little bit with Ring of Honor. So anyways, folks, yeah, normally I sit here and gripe about, you know, how Monday Night Raw did so fucking terrible, and they did. But I'm going to focus on the good things. Like, Granny, tonight on NXT, Aleister Black returned. And because Nikki Cross supposedly knows, and she keeps saying this in a psychotic manner, she knows. She knows. Aleister Black did the Undertaker entrance where his music turns on, and then about like 30 seconds into it, you see him Indian style sitting in the ring, and Nikki Cross whispers in his ear, "Who attacked him?" A lot of people are pointing the finger at Johnny Gargano. A lot of people are pointing the finger at Velveteen Dream, Tommaso Ciampa. Truth is, Granny, all of us don't know who attacked him. But if it is Gargano, I'm going to put a smile on my face because I don't like goody two-shoes in wrestling. I think they're boring. And when something controversial happens or centers around them, kind of gives it flavor. Now, if something would happen to Baron Corbin, we'd all be happy. Yes, I agree. Because if he was to be tied in a chair and No Way Jose was to do a conga line around him, I think we'd all be happy because it'd be something totally random. And then, yes, No Way Jose's conga line is totally random. And why I just thought of that, I have a sick mind, folks. I think we're all aware of that. But when it comes to torturing someone, sharing is caring, right? I mean, Baron Corbin deserves to have a conga line go around him and around him and around him. And therefore, that would make us happy because we wouldn't have to hear him pretend to have authority or lack thereof. Because, I mean, he's not that bright. Let a former, I guess, the vacationing general manager who had no gear. it was funny. You're asking me why I don't like Baron Corbin? It's because even in NXT, he put me to sleep. He just was terrible. And he transferred his horribleness to Monday Night Raw. She used to be on SmackDown Live, and then for some reason, let's make him authority. Yay, no. I have defiant questions on Instagram. This is kind of great. It's kind of refreshing. If you guys want to send in questions, it's wrestle_radio. I'm going to get to off the rails pretty soon, fairly quickly, because I have to be up in the crack of dawn, you know. Luckily, we stayed in Queens, which makes it convenient for me. Anyways, so yes, SmackDown Live was the 1,000th episode, and Vince, I was surprised to see the boss dancing, Granny. I was very surprised. I mean, I didn't expect Vince McMahon to dance. I mean, I've seen his 80s video where DX constantly makes fun of him for that, To have the boss, we say, "What is entertainment?" And then he randomly says, "Dance break." Thought it was great. I thought it was great, Granny. I mean, that's why I always constantly tell you in the audience, I love Team Blue because I think they understand what entertains us and not what's forced on us. And I actually did write down some of the matches. Well, if I can go in order, since I wrote it down in the notebook, folks, because I'm super anal retentive like that. Not really. So, in order, folks, if you want to know how SmackDown Live went, let me show you. Aha, Raw, no thank you. Aha. So, True TV kicked off the show. Stephanie, I don't know why she's on Team Blue. Oh, wait. She was the first general manager, Granny. More like she didn't last long and Daddy had to help her out. Yeah. And then a big surprise, folks. Shane O'Mac. Shane O'Mac returned to Team Blue. It's actually been behind the scenes, folks. But, you know, it's good to see him, Granny. It's good to see Shane back on Team Blue.
Yeah, because I know he's been gone for a while, so.
We haven't seen him on TV for 8 months. And Corey Graves kind of, oh, it's how convenient for him to show up after 8 months. And I sat there thinking, not only do you not like pancakes, but you don't like good authority Graves. How dare you? I mean, let's see here. Okay, so AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan versus the Usos. Now, you want to talk about decent? These matches, okay. That match was very back and forth. I neglected to mention that match because I kind of forgot it. So Paige, Teddy Long, Vicky Guerrero, it was funny. I think Granny was smiling. She at one point channeled her inner Vicky Guerrero. It was funny, folks. That's because she said, excuse me, and I instantly thought to that moment when Granny and I were called commies on our show. I mean, mm-hmm. It was great. When Vicky hit, when she saw John Laurinaitis, I go, oh, cripe, what is Baron Corbin's relative doing on this show? They're both boring, folks, and Laurinaitis sounds like he smoked I swear, Granny, he sounds like he has smoked 1 million cigarettes and a few cigars.
You probably have. I don't know. I was not a big John Laurinaitis fan.
He's horrible, folks. I mean, he and Baron Corbin, if you want to fall asleep, just watch those two. They're like, oh, some said he was a great authority figure. I wonder what crack pipe you've been smoking from, miss, because Laurinaitis was not a great authority figure. He more or less was the fact that if you tuned into SmackDown Live or Raw, by the time he got done speaking, I think drool had dripped from out to the point where you could, you could have a shallow kiddie pool because it was that bad. So they made the match of the Tag Team Championships, Evolution. I would like to call it Dave Bautista's roast of everyone. Orton tried, but my guy thought Orton was going to get beat down with what he was saying. I mean, you saw the look on Hunter's face, like, really? I gave you an opportunity. And then you had The Miz versus Rusev. No, yeah. Aiden English cost Rusev the match, the best in the world tournament, so. Man. Becky and Charlotte and Cutting Edge. You want to say what a 1,000th episode was all about? Wow. Those two women did what Trish, Lita, Alexa, and Mickey could not do, and that is catfight! Catfight! I loved it. It was great. It was great. Fortunately, the referees ruined it by breaking it up, those bastards. Anyways, yes. Tag Team Championships. New Day versus Sheamus and Cesaro with an unexpected twist. Big Show helps them out. What's up? My best hurricane was, what's up with that? Shinsuke Nakamura versus Rey Mysterio. My Granny and I just told you, if you have not seen that match, you need to. Very good match.
That was pretty awesome.
Yes, folks. Okay, we're on to NXT. Now, like I said, folks, I decided to doodle in the logo and everything for NXT UK. You want to talk about a group that knows what they're doing. They just started NXT UK division. Man, Mark Andrews versus Joe Coffey is huge. Joe Coffey won the match. same team in the fans. Sid Scallon versus Dave Mastiff. Granny, this guy is like Goldberg, but, you know, mixed with a little Ryback and then some, because he's one big boy, and he is just very strong. And it's funny, his name is, yeah, Dave Mastiff. He is a Mastiff, so he's huge. Nina Samuels versus Toni Storm. Very back and forth, very good match. Oh, yeah, my personal favorite, folks. Pete Dunne versus Noam Dar. And, granny, you would have laughed your ass off. The UK crowd, their chants are very unique, prized. But when you hear Noam Dar's name being chanted like Darth Vader's Death Star entrance, or the Death Star march, dar, 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 dar. Oh, it was great. Oh, my God. I was laughing so hard. I was like, I'm going to tell Granny this story. Because Noam Dar, normally, folks, you see him on Cruiserweight, you know, Cruiserweight Division 205 Live. It doesn't do him justice because him and Pete Dunne put on a fucking clinic. It was a great match. And I gotta say, folks, wow. NXT UK's debut was great. Nobody could have done it better. But that, you know, cannot be topped, could it? I mean, because NXT tonight, Undisputed Era, most people are on them, you know, and I do like three of them, three. Undisputed Era, granny, like I said, if you have any villain group that can make your skin boil, writhe, and wriggle like a worm on a hook, Undisputed Era is said group. If you combine NWO and DX when they were not well-received, but somehow fans liked them anyways, that's Undisputed Era. And anyways, tonight they defend their NXT Tag Team Championships against the War Raiders. I do like that name for one reason. Anyways, the War Raiders were about to win the Tag Team Championships when who shows up? Bobby Fish. A steel chair in hand. It helps out, you know, the cause of Undisputed keeping and retaining some form of gold. They had a double main tonight, granny. It was Bianca Belair versus Nikki Cross. Not to take away from Orny Lorcan and Danny Burch, who faced a random tag team from China. Bing and Rocky. Yeah, that's correct. And then Shayna Baszler, jerk face. I call her Evil Bailey, granny, and fans of, for the simple reason you look at those two. Shayna Baszler looks very similar to Bailey. Their ring gear is very similar. The only difference is Bailey is nicey nice and Baszler's just mean. She basically snaps someone. The gimmick is, granny, she just, when your arm looks like a chicken wing and she has it up, she stomps on it. Mean thing. She injured a wrestler by the name of Britt Baker like that. And it's really bad, granny, that she attacked her after the match. She was already injured. She attacked her anyways. But, Bianca Belair versus Nikki Cross. I believe Nikki was about to win, but it's annoying that Bianca's still undefeated. Bianca Belair's got long hair. She has a braid that's about like 5 feet long or 4 feet long, granny, and she uses it as a whip. And normally an opponents are dominating her. As a last resort, she takes her braided hair and she proceeds to smack her opponent in the abdomen. I can tell you, granny, if that were me in the ring, she wouldn't have a braid anymore. I'd take hedge clippers and I'd snap it off. That's just my mentality, folks, because if you hit me in the abdomen with your hair, guess what? I don't care if it's gimmicked or not. I'd take some hedge clippers and I'd snap that thing off. And as Naomi would say, I'd snatch you up bald. It's funny because the match was so back and forth. Nikki kicked out of a Bianca bomb, which is basically a sat down power bomb. She also kicked out of a deadlift power bomb. So in other words, Nikki Cross, folks, is not human, as Bobby Heenan would say. She is not human. There's no way she got up from that. She kicked out of two or three finishes. And that's when Aleister Black's music hit. And he said, "Do you know?" And she whispered in his ear as to who did it. Now, folks, I know that most of you are trying to point the finger at Velveteen and Tommaso Ciampa, but it may be someone that's unexpected, and that someone may be Johnny Wrestling. I can't really stand, like I said, I'm not a fan of the baby faces, and that's not uncommon because I like some of them and they entertain, but I tend to drift more towards the guys who are not well perceived. And maybe it has something to do with the very fact that I started out as a heel. But I also think because you need a balance in this world. And you also, you know, there's good, but there's also, well, evil. And I think that Gargano, and along with the way, did it. Because it can't be Tommaso Ciampa. He was nowhere near Aleister Black. Velveteen, kind of acting shifty. Cassius Ohno, acting all kinds of shifty around William Regal. And Regal, Granny even said, "I will be asking her the question after the match." But what's funny is no one suspected Aleister Black was going to be there tonight. And he was. So kudos to you, NXT. SmackDown Live, great job. Monday Night Raw, well, you guys need work. And I'm going to explain that, why. And I said I wasn't going to bitch about it the whole show, but I'm going to explain my perspective on as to how Raw could have gone if they would have just added a few things. So buckle up, fuckers. Buckle up and get ready for a 20-minute, not long-winding rant, but inside the mind of Brian Rails, I'm not responsible for any offensive things that come out my mouth because this is off the rails and censored. And you did traipse onto my show, dear. So, dig it. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of personality. Now, Granny, we've all seen how each show works and operates, whether we watch on the network, whether we, you know, just sit and watch the replay. But what really gets me going is the fact that time after time, man, I don't know, Granny, how you feel about this, but do you think they should have pulled the trigger on Ambrose to finally just go rogue or just do something with him? Because if you think that it would have made people's interest go back to, okay, wow, Raw really threw us for a loop.
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, because the rumors have been flying for how long that, you know, they've been trying to turn Ambrose heel against the Shield. You know, I mean, Dolph and McIntyre, you know, Drew McIntyre, they're like, you know, they're trying to convince Dean Ambrose, oh, they don't care anything about you, blah, 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 blah. You know, and, you know, you had the little shoving match between Ambrose and Rollins Monday night, you know. I was sitting there thinking to myself, okay, is this really going to happen? And then it didn't happen. So, you know, maybe they should have, you know. I would have hated it, but, you know, I mean, look how long Rollins was part of the Authority, you know, when he turned on Roman and Dean Ambrose, you know. So, you know, maybe they should have, you know, but who knows? Time will tell. I mean, I don't think this is over yet. I think maybe it might happen, you know. I mean, there's that slim possibility, you know, that, I mean, anything
possible.
Now they
kept them together. Well, now that they kept them together, Granny, here's the problem. This is just my opinion. I don't care who turns and who doesn't, but when you don't pull the fucking trigger in wrestling, when you have ample enough opportunity to do it, that makes the fans that have been in or around wrestling, the sport of professional wrestling, the Ragnarok, the torture, the back and forth that we go through as fans, the back and forth you go through as a worker. What irritates me is if the pieces are all in place for you to do it, and then that'd be like playing chess with somebody, and you know you have an obvious checkmate, and you don't take advantage of it. Or that'd be like playing cards, you know, blackjack, and you say hit me so many times, and then when you finally get in your 21 and you just bust because taking hint is to, okay, I should have stopped.
Very true.
This time, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you guys don't think that I'm telling the truth, then watch a Monday Night Raw in 4 weeks, and you will see the progression of Ambrose not wanting to be a part of the Shield. And not just saying that to hear my own voice, folks, but he was seen, you know, walking away from the match because there were so many miscues. And then it's like, okay, we're not dumb type of thing. Granny and I are not, we're along with other fans, we're not stupid. You guys keep doing this shit of, okay, the fans won't notice. We can pull their strings. Ambrose is one example. B-Team is another example. The question is, why did you guys not give the Revival an opportunity after you just saw them week after week giving the B-Team hell? But no, you had to give the B-Team, oh my God, you booked Ziggler and McIntyre? Is it to keep Ziggler happy? Because I've heard a lot of things, I've read a lot of things, and I've seen, you know, met Ziggler a few times. Not a bad guy. But I just wonder, folks, why would you not pull the trigger on Ambrose? It's fairly obvious, dude. When you have something in front of you that's bold. And Granny even said, I would have hated it, but it would have made sense. Organic. You know, Granny, how the NWO was organic, and then when they broke apart into the Wolfpack, they gave the fans for WCW a choice.
Yep.
Granted, you know what I'm saying? Some people may have said, well, the NWO Wolfpack was stupid. No, because you'd be stupid if you didn't admit that when Sting was in limbo, and then they're like, oh, he's NWO Black and White. That was Eric Bischoff's brilliance. Because you thought, as a fan, well, Sting's going to join the Black and White. Oh, crap. Where's WCW going to be? Then when he, you know, decided to rip the Black and White up, and, oh, wait, you know, he's now a part of the Wolfpack. Yay! You know what I'm saying? It's you know, examples of how wrestling should be organic, and fans would fucking love you for it. But instead,
You're like that idiot that gets caught on the show Cheaters. Didn't think, oh yeah, I'm not going to get caught. Well, sorry. We burst your bubble, man. We bursted your bubble because we don't figure out. We're not like, oh yeah, we knew. No. And the fact that Granny and I just pointed out examples, you know, Rollins and Ambrose were tussling around. I thought Ambrose was going to fucking dirty deeds Rollins right into the floor. And I would get pissed if you cost me a match that qualifies me to be best in the world. But that's just me. I've expressed multiple amount of times when you see an opportunity, fucking go for it. It's not that hard. But I guess, well, you know, so again, we book it this way. No, the fuck it's not. And it's irritating that Granny and I have to pick apart how Monday Night Raw could be better. It's not bad, but to have McIntyre turn on Strowman, I knew that some group would have to turn Granny, but I think they just did this to spite the fans. Like, the fans are reading, so we got to go the opposite of what they're reading. Yeah, Granny said this. She said she had a guest on the Icon show that the magic is not there anymore. And part of the reason is when you have something that could have been organic, something that could have spoken to the crowd, whether you loved it or hated it, it would have been fine. But instead, we're left wondering, what if? Why isn't it this way? You know, I mean, Granny, I'm not understanding why they.
Well,
do
they're making us like, okay, this is what we're going to give you, whether you like it or not. You know, I mean, we have both said this. I mean, Icon has said this. You know, give the fans what they want to see, but don't sit there and shove something down our throats like, okay, this is what we are going to give you and you're going to like it. You know, don't tell me what I'm going to like and what I'm not going to like, because if you do that, then Granny might start getting a little upset because nobody tells me, first of all. It's kind of funny, like at WFC, and I'm going to throw this example out there. You know, when the villains are out there wrestling, you know, and villain security is out there, you know, they're always telling me, sit down and shut up and be quiet. And I'm like, no, you can't make me. And it's no different than what Monday Night Raw is doing right now. You know, I know Icon has brought this up many a times on Attitude Era Live. You know, it's gotten to the point where, okay, you know, I don't like what I'm seeing here. I'm not going to watch it. I'll turn it off for a little bit. I might go back to it. I might flip back and forth between a channel, you know, and you know, between commercials, and okay, is it any better, you know, but don't sit there and assume what the fans are going to like or what they're not going to like. I mean, because you know what, everybody knows what happens when people start assuming. It makes an ass out of you and me, period, you know, so it's beyond me, because I mean, I kind of get tired of, like, you know, I just go with the flow, like at WFC, you know, they sit down, you know, they sit there and they come up and they get in my face and they're, shh, be quiet, Granny, you know, I'm like, no, I'm not going to be quiet, and how dare you tell me to be quiet, because it's not going to happen. As long as Granny has a voice, I'm going to holler, whether you like it or not.
See, Granny, the thing is, you know, we watch as fans, and I kind of miss the days when WWE had
competition on Mondays, and I've said this, WCW would do things that WWE wouldn't do. And they would, you know, I think Bischoff said it best, you know, they had cartoony characters which were non-believable, and what is he referring to? Doink the Clown. Duke the Garbage Man. Duke the Dumpster, whatever. I'm not saying Savio Vega was a clown, because obviously not. But you had guys running around. You had the Smoking Guns. They're not clowns. But you had so many gimmicky names. The Godwins. You had Zebekiah, and he managed the Mountain Twins. I mean, come on. They had a lot of cartoony characters. Barry Horowitz. It's just, he had the same cranny that made you think you were at a bar mitzvah, I swear. And, you know, it was very, some parts of WWE was organic back in the day. I watched both, but I mainly, I grew up watching ECW. So when they, when WWE went to, we're going to have Attitude, I just laugh, because looking back on it, okay. But, you know, every company steals from everyone, but it was still organic, folks, because Stone Cold, most of you claim, was the version of Sandman, and this guy was the version of Dreamer. I'm like, no one can be like anyone, folks. Just go with the flow, as Granny said. If it weren't for Mick Foley, I believe Attitude Era would be a lot different. Okay, but I'm going to use this as an example, Granny. If it weren't for Mick Foley having so many turns because of his multiple personalities, wrestling gimmicks, his multiple gimmicks, I don't believe WWE would be where they're at right now if it weren't for Mankind winning that championship, because Eric Bischoff read off the results, or had Tony Schiavone read the results on Monday Nitro. And no offense, WCW, I watched you a lot, but when you guys did that shit, I turned the channel automatically to USA just to see who would win the championship. And guess what, folks? When Mick Foley won, that changed the whole game. So, I mean, I'm not saying WWE can't be organic, because they have, you know, just some of you are saying, well, they have NXT. How is that not organic? You guys aren't getting it. On Main, specifically on Monday Night Raw, when you're given, you know, the outline, Ambrose really doesn't want to be a part of the Shield, or does he? It confuses Granny and I when you have certain instances where he doesn't show up, and then all of a sudden he does show up, and you're like, okay. And I was confused. I was like, wow, I was shocked to see him help Rollins. Everyone was cheering for him to fucking turn. They didn't turn him in. I thought, well, maybe for sure during Rollins' match when he came out and helped Rollins. Or tried to, you know, well, nah. When Rollins came out to help Ambrose, it was the opposite effect, and Ambrose did not win. Now, I know Rollins was just trying to do, you know, have a nice gesture, you know, whatever, help his brother out. Granny. It disappoints me when brawls happen and nothing happens after. That's like, you know, in a football game, your team's getting there, and then at the last minute, peters out. It happens, but in this instance, as wrestling fans, you're like left wondering, okay, did we miss the memo that, you know, in wrestling you can fight with somebody and still, you know, not have a catastrophic result? I mean, not every time, but I'm just at a loss trying to figure out, okay, I give it a chance. I tune it back on because I haven't watched it, and I hardly get to see it when I'm out, you know, working my normal shifts from 3 to 11. So I'm going back to not watching it because even with Trish and Lita there, Granny, they didn't do shit. They just stood at the. They just took off their jackets and like, well, maybe I get that teaser. Yeah, you get the teaser, all right, sir, because you you like seeing women in high heels, you can't fucking work. I'm not saying Mickey and Alexa can't work. I'm just saying it would have been nice to have seen the Bellas get tore up. I can't stand those two. I have never been able to stand those two, to be honest. And some of you may say, why not? Number two, Granny, do you ever feel like people are pretentious? That they just like being snobby just because?
Yeah.
I hate people like that, you know? I mean.
The Bella Twins. It really irked me. I mean, I know it's fucking gimmicked. And I know that fucking they were given shit to say. But whoever gave it to them, good job. Because they are like that in real life. They are not down to earth at all. They claim to be. But you know what? I think it's funny how people believe that the Bellas actually helped revolutionize women's wrestling. No, they helped, like Rhonda said, they helped give a stereotype. So,
yep.
I mean, Granny, you and I have both seen how women's wrestling used to be a joke in WWE. I mean, bra and panties matches.
Mm-hmm.
I think that women's wrestling was not taken seriously until, you know, just recently when NXT, not just that, yeah, just NXT kind of helped infuse that. Ember Moon, Bayley, Asuka, Sasha Banks, I mean, Nia Jax, a lot of women that came from NXT, Paige, even though she has a storied past in the wrong kind of direction, folks. who's to say that the Bella Twins were helpful at all? I don't, because for starters, folks, I don't have any qualms about, you know, dishing out about those two. That was another aspect of Raw that I couldn't stand. It's like, okay, so you're going to have Rousey beat up her security guards or their security guards. Great. That's another turn, Granny. I don't understand. The Bellas turning on Rousey. I would have expected them to wait till Evolution. Then some may say, well, if you waited that long, you wouldn't have the rivalry. What rivalry? Nikki gets involved in the main event. Why? Well, she wins at fucking Evolution. I'm just going to laugh. Simply because, like I said, I don't care who goes over. But at the same token, why, you know, with Alexa Bliss facing Trish Stratus, that was a great original match, and then they had to add a tag team. I don't know why. I do not know why. So there's a lot of question marks, folks, about why things are done the way they are. And one question Granny and I have for you is, why aren't you taking advantage of your opportunities? Why? Everything just seems so, like, forced, and it feels like Raw is doing more talking than they are action. That's how it feels. In some instances.
Well, we said this last week, when you start off Monday Night Raw with almost a 28-minute promo, I mean, come on, I want to watch wrestling, you know. I mean, I can sit and listen to anybody talk, but if wrestling's on, I want to see wrestling, you know. I mean, I want to see it. I mean, promos are okay. I don't have anything against a promo, you know, a good promo or whatever, but, you know, it just seems like they always start off, you know, with some sort of promo, you know. Let's just kind of go back to, like, the good old days where, like, welcome to Monday Night Raw, you know. Let's get to our first match, you know. I mean, that's what I want to see, you know. I want to see wrestling, you know.
A pull-apart, Granny, would even be a welcoming sight. You know?
True.
Like, okay. You know, Lashley, Lesnar, or anybody, really. I mean, I love Triple H and I love, you know, Taker and all them. It's just, oh my God, dude.
I'm starting to think that whoever is presenting them with their sheets and what to say, it should not be fucking paragraph. I don't know who is doing that shit, but stop. Because whenever I watched Monday Night Raw, I was glued. I was glued to it in middle school. Because it was just so, like, wow, the edge of your seat kind of thing. Now it's like, I'm on the edge of my seat to stay awake when Baron Corbin picks up a microphone type thing. Like, I don't have enough popcorn kernels for me to pop another bowl of popcorn type thing. I just, in closing, folks, I know it can get better. I probably won't be watching Monday Night Raw, even though I might miss some things. I don't care. I just was bold enough to turn it back on this current week because I realized it's near Survivor Series and it might start getting good again. But, Granny, I think the only thing that made Raw interesting partly last year as I went to Survivor Series is when SmackDown Live just went completely apeshit on all of Monday Night Raw. That was great.
Yep. It was.
And it just made you go, holy shit, Team Blue is not fucking around. And this is why I say this. On this show, on a consistent basis, SmackDown Live gets it. They know what the fans want. They're not fucking around. And they don't care. They have no qualms about getting in Raw's face. And I like how Shane McMahon said, we're all for Team Blue, we're all for Team Red. And then Raw came to SmackDown Live and they completely invaded and did the same thing. That's why I say I'm watching this because Survivor Series is in the wings, folks. It's not too far away. It's in Los Angeles, you know, and they're going to have an NXT TakeOver. I'm excited, Granny. They're doing War Games again. Man, last year's War Games for NXT was amazing. Two cages, Granny, two rings. And they got a please don't die chant going. It was great. Because Adam Cole was just sitting on the ring, Granny, like one of the villains from WFC. And he just sitting up there thinking, la, 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 no one's going to touch me. And then here comes Killian Dane. Grabs Adam Cole on the top of the cage and suplexes him on top of everyone else.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but before that, Granny, you heard, please don't die. Please don't die. I got video
yep.
of that, and I love it because, man, what a prelude. That was the only, you know what, Granny, that was one of the few pay-per-views that actually made me go, holy crap, there's a prayer. Survivor Series wasn't terrible, folks. It actually kind of surprised me, kind of like Royal Rumble. Like, holy shit, they gave us what we wanted. I'm like that fat kid on Christmas that takes back some of Santa Claus's cookies. Okay? I was that happy. Unfortunately, Mania came around and kind of ruined that. Just a smidgen. But, folks, if you want to tune in next week, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, the times are on the Instagram. You can check us out on, me solo on Monday, Tuesday with Granny, and Wednesday with Granny Tuesday. Times have shifted because of work, so 3:30 p.m. Central, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 12:30 Eastern, 11:30 Central. That's the only times that have not changed for Off the Rails Uncensored. All right, got to get me to bed, Granny. These times are going to fuck with my head, but it's okay. I only have a week more to work morning shifts, and we will go back to normal times for Wrestle Radio Network. Off the Rails Uncensored, the times remain the same. If you didn't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Granny?
And if you don't like what Granny Holster has to say, what you going to do? Fans, when Granny Holster goes crazy on you.
And she means to say Granny Hulkster villain. So.
No, I don't.
Trust me, folks, we could go on and on with banter. But Granny and I have to get our wrestling beauty sleep. All right. That's it, folks. I got to go to bed. Vinny's kind of waving at me to go to bed. Yeah, I know, fucker. I got to go to bed. Yeah, I know. Is it you act as if I don't do the show, dude? Like 20, like, yeah, I get it. You can flip me off. Go to bed, you skinny bastard. All right. Toodles, bitches. I got to go to bed. Dig it. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of personality. The cult of personality, the cult of personality.